We all know that builder's tea is milk and two sugars. We're talking about the perfect brew this morning after researchers at the University of Northumbria came up with what they say is the perfect method for making tea. Mark got in touch on Twitter to say he likes his tea Julie Andrews, white nun. And I couldn't quite work it out. Maybe my brain wasn't working at the same speed as everybody else's. So I asked him to explain. He says, she was a white nun in The Sound of Music. So Julie Andrews, white nun. There are two gentlemen sitting opposite me with smiles of bemusement. Let me introduce them to you. If you had £5,000 to donate to a charity of your choice, who would get it? Would you consider giving it to a bunch of school kids and asking them to decide? It's what one Gomshall-based businessman is doing. And he's hired some lawyers from Woking to run it as a competition. Good morning to Ian Vincent from Vincent Holmes and Derek Austin from Mackerel Turner Garrett Solicitors.
Good morning. Thank you very much indeed
for coming in. I feel honour bound now to, one, ask you whether you knew about the Julie Andrews white nun.
I think I worked it out, yes.
Yeah, you worked it out, right, there you go. See, people's brains are much better than mine at this time of the morning, which is a bit worrying for a breakfast show presenter. And how do you like your perfect brew?
Rooibos with soya.
Rooibos with soya. I bet you didn't get that this morning.
Indeed not, no.
So you're off the caffeine, are you?
From time to time.
And the dairy.
Yeah.
You're a very trim man.
It's kind of to say so.
Has that got something to do with that? Do you like to stay away from the dairy?
Not necessarily, but soya is my milk substitute of choice.
Okay, well, there's plenty of that, I think. They've got these capsules in the BBC Surrey kitchen called Taste Like Milk.
Oh, right. Which isn't true.
Okay. It's white, it looks like milk, but it doesn't taste like milk. Derek, how do you have your brew?
Oh, I'll have a brew strong and frequently, as much as possible.
Hot and wet, yes, there you go. You're the one that's easy to please. All right, gentlemen, thank you very much for coming in this morning. You've got some money, you want to give it away, why not just give it to a charity of your choice?
Well, I think because one doesn't know about every possible charity. I mean, I've looked at charities over the years and worked with charities abroad and in this country. But there's always the question, should people help people abroad? Should people help people in this country? Should it be human rights-based? Should it be poverty-based?
Most people give to charity that touch their own lives.
Well, not all research actually covers that. I've been reading a lot of reports about this. But in some ways, that's why we think that focusing on students will help, because they're looking at it from a fresh point of view. And they will come across charities that are not only doing a good job, but will also actually have something to do with the money. I mean, there's lots of charities that are well-funded and doing a fine job. Mm. But there are also lots of charities that could do with the money to, I don't know, employ a part-time counsellor for a year, or spend it on bicycles for doctors in Africa, or extend a community garden. There's a whole range.
Your scope is huge. You have no limits on what this can go for.
And that's why we want the input from the students.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Well, Derek, all right, what's the deal here? £20,000 on the table, how does it work?
Absolutely, yes. The students are going to be responsible for nominating the charities and putting together presentations so that we can decide who can benefit most from this charitable donation.
So if I was a teacher listening to this thinking, right, this sounds like a good idea, I'm sure the kids would get really into this. Is it open to primary schools as well as secondary schools? Is it any school in Surrey, or can it go beyond the borders? How does it work?
We have sent invitations out to Surrey's senior schools, so we're targeting year 10 and 11 pupils for this initiative. 14, 15, 16-year-olds. We think they'll be able to put presentations together. They're all used to doing things on, for example, YouTube or PowerPoint these days. They'll be able to research the charities, understand, I think, how the charities can use the money, whether they need more resources to get a scheme up and running, what they'll use it for, who will benefit. Then those pupils can get the schemes into us. We'll then decide who gets the cash. Simple but brilliantly effective, I think, Nick.
And the letters have already gone out, have they? If your school hasn't got one, can they perhaps give you a call and say, we'd like to be part of this competition?
The invitations have certainly gone out. We're now receiving invitations from senior schools, but, Nick, we all know how busy head teachers are. So if you're a parent, if you're a governor, if you're a teacher, give your head teacher a nudge.
A little nudge. Say there might be something in your in-tray that you haven't spotted
yet. Yeah, spot it. Give it back to us by the 4th of July. By the end of July, we'll have made decisions as to which schools are in the scheme and which schemes can then be promoted in September by the students' presentations.
What inspired you to do this, Ian?
I think I've always had a general interest in charities, but it's specifically a learning process. As I said earlier, it's just so much debate, and people will have input. People listening to this will be thinking, oh, that's a charity that could really do with some help. And it's that fresh look that I'm hoping to get. So it's an education for us slightly older people, as well as for students as well, who, of course, will be looking at and interacting with hopefully a whole